Hello, good day, everyone. I'm Kevin Finkel, and this is another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
Hey everybody, this is Ryan. I'm the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right, so just the two of us today, nice and calm, a little less hectic than when we're scheduling with some guests. Mm-hmm. And I think you brought a fun topic for this week. You want to go ahead and introduce that and we can jump on in?
Yeah, so I've been laying on this topic for a while and you've been like, maybe later, maybe next time. But finally, I broke down Kevin's barriers and he's going to let me do one of my fun topics. So, you know, we all know that Niv-Mizzet is a great deck in Pioneer, and it's mostly because of the card Bring to Light. Now, Bring to Light lets you tutor for basically anything in that deck. So I thought, you know what? What other type of tutor effects are really good in Pioneer? So I wanted to explore that a little bit more. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We're the pioneers. We explore the format. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to explore what the best tutor and also wish cards are in Pioneer, if that's okay with you, Kevin.
Yeah, so the only reason I was fighting back here is you're like, hey, you know, let's do an episode on what's the best, you know, the best tutor effect in Pioneer. I'm like, well, there's only one best tutor effect in Pioneer. It's Bring to Light. We know that. it's a tier one deck right now and has been for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, but we're not saying the number one. We're just saying the best ones. You know what I mean?
Sure. So the best ones. So let's take a look at, you know, really good. So what we wanted to do is take a look at the rest of the list, see what they could be grabbing, what they might be able to grab in the future. Maybe just some big targets as well as what we'd like to be grabbing with these. Exactly. And then also talk about wish effects.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, hands down, we can say Bring to Light is the best one.
Yeah, I'm comfortable saying that. It's definitely, you know, the cost to use it is not that high. It's got some really good cards that it can hit, as well as a few shenanigans in the fact that, you know, things like Valky being able to cast the backside of Valky, the Tybalt side, just because you were able to find the Valky on the front.
So do you want to kind of go over all of the targets for each card as we go over them, or do you want to do that after we go over all the tutor effects?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, for most of them, I would like to go as we go over them. Bring to Light's kind of a special situation in that, like, there's a million different cards I've tried in Bring to Light. I don't know if we want to name every single card that you could be playing. You know, maybe I've got, like, one or two that isn't seeing play that I wouldn't mind shouting out, but I think it'd be hard to name every possible Niv to Light
card. I mean, basically, anything that's in Niv to Light is worth tutoring. It wouldn't be in there otherwise.
Yeah, and there are things that aren't in there that can be in there in different builds of it.
Yeah, you know, so Tulsmir, Yasharn, Omnath, I mean, just the Abrupt Decay, the Anachimers, all that stuff is good. Any of that stuff is worth it, I think.
Yep.
So, what else? Now, you know, it gets a little bit more challenging. What are the best tutor effects? So, there's two things that I took a look at when I was, you know, going through my tutor effects. Well, basically, whatever it says, search your library. So this could be for a creature card. This could be for, like, an instant or sorcery. This could also be for a land. So I kind of took that all into account when I was making my list.
Do you want to break that out a little bit as far as which ones we want to talk about first? You know, some of those sound easier if you want to go with, like, lands first here.
I didn't really think there was any land tutor effects really worth talking about, to be honest.
So we do have some decent ones. You know, we don't have some of the ones that are good in Modern, you know, the ones that Tron really depends on, but we do have Sylvan Scrying. You know, that's an important part of a deck in the format. And then after that, we've got some that I think could see play if we had the right cards to target. You know, Hour of Promise is a card that we have that saw quite a bit of play when we had Field of the Dead decks. And, you know, if we ever get another land-based combo or, like, really good ramp deck that depends on specific cards, that would be something that would let you do that, as well as Elvish Reclaimer. You know, that card has seen some play and just never really got a home in Pioneer. There was just never something that you really wanted to search for it.
Is it like in Legacy Lands now or something like that?
I think I've seen versions that play it.
I was going to say Scapeshift would be another great tutor effect, but again, we don't really have a lands deck.
Yeah, I think that one's even further from being just playable in something fair. That would only be playable if we had a direct card that you could win with,
like Field of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Valakut.
There we go. Yeah, we need that kind of combo. It's not too far away. That's on my potential. And then we're going to talk about potentials later. Yeah, so what else? What other ones? I had Emergent Ultimatum on my list. I saw a little bit of play when people were exploring the format early on. It was really fun to... So it's the Sultai one that's like, what, 7 mana from Ikoria? And you get to...
Yep, 7 mana.
You get to look through your deck and you choose, I want to say, 3? 3 cards? And then... Is it 3? Or, yeah.
So it is specifically 3 monocolored cards.
Yeah.
That's the one kind of condition with that one. Is there a second condition as
well? Well, I mean, your opponent chooses one and that's exiled and the other two go into your hand, I want to say, right?
So the other two cast.
Oh, you cast the other two right away. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you get to choose which order you cast them. So there's some really good things that you can grab with this in Pioneer. I think it's worth, you know, if you guys haven't seen this deck, I think it's worth taking a look. It was very similar to what you could do in Standard mm-hmm. in that, you know, you can grab the 6 mana. What is the Praetor?
You mean Vorinclex?
Yeah, Vorinclex plus like 2 big Planeswalkers mm-hmm. or Vorinclex, a Planeswalker, and Kiora, Best the Sea God. There were ways to build your deck that this would be an automatic win. I think that those fell a little bit out of popularity. They were a little bit less stable in that if you drew one of those pieces, the deck could kind of just not be able to win that way. But it is possible. You know, we do have Enter the Infinite mm-hmm. and Omniscience. So if you put those two in the pile, your opponent always can't give you both because that would mean you draw your entire deck and can cast all your cards for free. So usually what you'll do is something like make the third one, I'm trying to think what you'd
use. Well, I mean, usually like Alrun's Epiphany as well in there to get an extra turn.
Yeah, so I was just saying if you wanted to guarantee a, hey, if I draw these cards, I win the game on the spot, you could do something like Dark Petition, which would then, they have to give you Dark Petition and Enter the Infinite. Mm-hmm. You draw your entire library, use the black mana to, you know, cast something like the Thassa's Oracle and win the game that way. Mm-hmm. That was an option, but yeah, if you're doing something more fair, you can do things like Alrun's Epiphany, you can do things like those really big Planeswalkers, the Zakura, Best the Sea God, and that deck can be very powerful. You know, there are ways to make it that it's pretty much always a win.
And I want to say that they were playing that in Lotus Field as well, like the Hidden Strings type deck was using the Emergent Ultimatum. At one point, I don't know if recently, but at one point.
So it's a little different. There was a version of a Emergent Ultimatum deck that was using Lotus Field, mm-hmm. And sometimes we were even using Discontinuity as a way to get Lotus Field into play without sacrificing lands. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't so much that they were the traditional Lotus Field combo. You know, they weren't usually running Hidden Strings and untapping a bunch of times.
Okay.
They were just using it as an actual way to power out your ramp, especially alongside things like Teferi.
Okay. All right, so we had...
Actually, that's a deck I should look at again. You know, we just got that that Geist, whatever his name is, like something Hermit that turns into a spirit that makes it so your spells can't be countered, and I think that was the biggest weakness of the deck. So you can play like 4-color, Run to Fairy, Lotus Field, Ultimatum.
If you want to talk about the deck list from last week's event, we can do that at the end of the show.
Oh, I don't know if I saw one of those.
Yeah, I believe there's 3.
Doesn't sound
there's
quite like
the Lotus Field. That made the finals, I believe. Yeah, there's 3 of that guy in the sideboard. Because it stops them from stopping the combo.
Ah, okay. Yeah, not quite the deck I was talking about, but yes, that's same idea. That's pretty cool.
So we had Bring to Light, of course, Emergent Ultimatum. What are the other top tutor cards in the format, you think?
So I think the other one that I have to say is like top of the tier would be Enigmatic Incarnation.
Yes.
And I feel like alongside with that is Moonblast Cleric. Although I think Moonblast Cleric could see play without Incarnation. Incarnation pretty much needs Moonblast Cleric at this point, even though it was a deck before it, obviously. You just wouldn't play it without running the Cleric, I think.
I don't know what that card is, to be honest. Moonblast Cleric. Okay, it's a newer
one. So that's the 3/2 from the Dungeons & Dragons set, and when it enters battlefield, you search for an enchantment and put it on top of your library. Okay.
So that's basically, you know, it's a Heliod's monk guy or whatever, except instead of auras, it grabs enchantments. So
yeah, so it's a, you know, it's a 3/2 for 3 that much makes an enlightened tutor, so that's pretty good.
Nice. Okay, yeah, Enigmatic, I definitely agree. Do you want to talk about the tutor targets that it grabs? Like, what would you grab with in an enigmatic incarnation?
The card is very difficult to say. So generally, what you're doing is that with that card, you're trying to build a toolbox that's pretty functional. Mm-hmm. And the way that you want to do that is by focusing most of your enchantments at one mana value and your creatures at a different mana value. So it sacrifices enchantments and finds creatures at one higher mana value. So, for example, most of the decks run a lot of 2-mana enchantments and a lot of 4-mana enchantments. Mm-hmm. The 4-mana being usually Incarnation and Fire's Invention, which both go well hand-in-hand. But that means that if you're sacrificing those, you're going to find 5-drops. If you're sacrificing the 2-drops, you're going to find 3-drop creatures. Mm-hmm. So it runs a lot of value 3-drop creatures, you know, things like the Skyclave Apparition, you know, things that'll give you value like Renegade Rallier, some weird things like that. And at 5, that's where you're getting your really big bombs. You're getting your Yorion. You know, mm-hmm. early versions of it grab Niv-Mizzet. Mm-hmm. You're seeing versions that get Scarab God pretty frequently. You'll sometimes see Golos. So a lot of good options, both at 3 and 5. Sometimes you'll see some, like, 1-2 drop in case you sacrifice a Chain to the Rocks. Sometimes you'll see, like, 1-4 drop in case you sacrifice a 3-man enchantment.
So... creature card. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I see. I thought this grabbed.
So I've got, you know, that's another one of those ones where I've played all kinds of weird cards in that deck because I'm always like, hey, you know, what if I tried a blank? You know, uh-huh. I played Zerda in that deck. That was hilarious. Uh-huh. What is that Turgrid, God of the Dead or something. I know you love that card. I saw Claudio playing that once in the sideboard, and I tried that out, and it was a blast. You know, there's a lot of weird things mm-hmm, you can play mm-hmm, in that deck mm-hmm. just kind of for fun.
Yeah, pretty much anything that seems powerful, you could probably play in an enigmatic deck.
Yeah, you know, and there's some... Yeah, so Kenrith's another good 5-drop. Mm-hmm. Lurrus, sometimes he plays a 3-drop. You often see Omnath as the 1/4-drop.
So pretty similar to what we would see in a Niv-Mizzet deck, I'm guessing, as far as creature-wise...
A little bit, but with Niv-Mizzet, you know, you're kind of limiting yourself in two ways. One is that you need to be a creature, sorcery, or instant to find with Bring to Light, with 5 or less mana cost, mm-hmm. usually closer to 5 because you want value. You also tend to want to be a 2-color card because then you can find it with Niv-Mizzet, which then makes that a very powerful, you know, just value card for you.
Yeah. I would say another card that kind of sees play in both the Enigmatic and the Niv deck is Nahiri, the Harbinger, which is also kind of a tutor effect. I mean, would you agree, disagree? What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't include Planeswalker Ults, I don't think, because, you know, that's just a little bit of a stretch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, if you've got it, I was like, ooh, should I include, you know, is there any deck that could win from ulting Saheeli Rai? I don't think it'd be interesting if there was one. Hmm.
I mean, what does Saheeli's ultimate do against search your library for an artifact, right?
It's 3 artifacts. 3 artifacts. I Ooh. And I think they're into play. Maybe I should double check that.
Okay, I've never looked at her ultimate because I didn't know it existed. I thought it was just copy, Felidar, you know, Guardian, and win the game.
You know, every once in a while, you're just not finding Felidar, and you plus up a bunch of times, and then you minus, and you put a Smuggler's Copter into play or something because that's the only artifact in your deck.
Yeah.
Maybe a what is the Aether? What is the energy spin card? Aetherworks Marvel. Yeah. Maybe you got that in your deck. You throw that into play.
Yeah. So Nahiri, I like Nahiri. I still think, you know, out of all of the ultimate effects, she has a +2 effect that's going to make it incredibly easy to get to that -8 ultimate effect. So that's why I have her included.
Yeah, you know. In Modern, that was a deck. You know, it won the game. Its primary way to win the game was by plussing Nahiri a couple times, protecting it, and finding Emrakul and winning the game on the spot. We don't quite have anything that has the immediate impact that an Emrakul does.
Ooh.
Well, you know, the old Emrakul does. And if we ever did, though, you know, that could be an interesting, you know, it might be possible to build around just playing and protecting Nahiri.
Naya Nahiri with Vorinclex. Double, you get an automatic -8, grab an Ulamog or an Emrakul, boom.
Well, that means you've got the 6-mana in play first. That doesn't...
Oh, true. That's right. Yeah, you're already winning. But I want to double her stuff, so... Whenever you play her, you basically get to ultimate. That'd be nice.
Yeah, double your fun.
Anything else? Any other effects that you think are really powerful? Like, I mean, if you don't mind me going again,
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think, you know, Binding of the Old Gods is a great effect. I want to say it's the second ability lets you tutor for a land, but it also kills something on the top side.
So it does tutor for a forest. That is nice because there are forests that are three color in the format, but it's not too open.
But I mean, I like it just because it does so many things. It's a good value. It's one card. It does three things. It kills something, tutors, and it, you know, I forgot the last one.
So the last one gives your creatures death
touch. There we go, yeah. But I thought that's a good card. It sees play in the Enigmatic deck. But it helps us, you know, keep your mana going as well. I want to say, never mind. That's not a tutor deck or a tutor card.
I was curious what you were going to say, but.
No, I was going to talk about Fires of Invention, but that's something that's also in the Enigmatic deck, right?
Yeah, but it's not
tutor. Yeah, you don't really tutor anything. You just play stuff from your hand. But works really well.
So I've got plenty more, including some that are seeing play, mm-hmm. some that have seen play, and some that I think could see play in the right situation. We got the right kind of card. Okay,
what you got? Give me a couple.
So I was going to call out Eldritch Evolution and Neoform next, just because those are falling off. You know, I think that the one deck which was still playing Eldritch Evolution was Winota. I was against it at first, and then I was into it, and now people are back against it. I don't know if I was right the whole time or if just the cards changed, but that is a deck that was using it, and I think that if we ever get something that can abuse those cards, they will show up again. I mean, you know, maybe when Kethis gets unbanned, we'll see Neoform some more.
There's three total that are like, there's Neoform, Eldritch Evolution, and then also Pyre of Heroes, right?
Yeah, so I didn't even include, like, Pyre of Heroes, nor the, what is the 4-mana blue and green combo deck? Those I felt like were too specific. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of completely building around those as a combo. These ones I felt like were more, you know, something you could drop in. You could drop in the main as a shell.
Were you talking about the, like, incubation card or whatever? Like, Crasis something or of other?
Hang on, let me grab a list. Sure I've got a...
while you're looking, I didn't have any of those on my list of playables. I have those on my list of potentials. Like, I think I think Neoform could be good in the right deck. I mean, what was it, Dualcaster Mage and Historic, whatever was playing it, you know, it just combos off, you know, with that, you know. I forgot how it works. You just keep making copies of Dualcaster, I guess, or something like that. You keep on looking for other, like, clone effects, I want to say.
So you'll keep copying it. Yeah, I think you could grab a clone effect in that. That's how it works. I don't play Historic at all.
We have a lot of clone effects. We do not have a dual caster type guy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, if there's the companion that is dual caster mage, except that they, for whatever reason, made it that you have to cast him in order to get the effect, which ruined his potential for that. And he's useless otherwise, so that's big sad.
By Eldritch, I also think that does have potential as well. Pyre of Heroes, I'm just saying it to have it on the list of other potential things. Because that's like what, you have to play like a tribal deck basically, right?
Yeah, you have to play at least vaguely tribal because, you know, you can jump if you've got like all warriors at two and then you sack and find a warrior angel at three and then you find an angel wizard at four. You like you could make it work that way, but... Yeah, it's hard to get value off that. You know, you're paying two, sacrificing a creature, paying two more to just to find your first thing, and then you're down a card. Like, by the time you're actually getting any value out of it, it's going to take a while.
Another card that I wanted to talk about, I think Yasharn is definitely worth a mention, too.
Yeah, I also didn't include that because that's just a four, a basic forest and a basic plains.
But it's still on a 4/4 body, and they can't sacrifice stuff. Just value-wise, it's a good tutor effect.
I'm comfortable saying it's a good card. Okay. I'm not comfortable calling it a tutor effect because I don't consider tutoring for something that specific as a tutor effect.
For lands, yeah. Okay. All right.
Not even just lands. It's the fact that, you know, it's a basic forest and a basic plains.
Okay. What else is on your list? What other things are you considering?
All right. So, yeah, I do think that we'll probably find some time where Eldritch Evolution Neoform is possible. I also think that if we had a creature-based combo deck that, you know, we have Court of Calling, we have Finale of Devastation. Both of those are strong cards. We just don't really have either a cheap combo deck to pay off with them or a ramp deck that has something like a... you know, an overrun. We don't have Critterhoof Behemoth to finale Devastation out.
I mean, that's, yeah. That's kind of like my question that I was going to, I don't know if we can, you want to answer it now or if you want to wait till later. It's like, what would make Court of Calling good? What kind of target do you need to tutor?
Well, give us Devoted Druid.
What's Devoted Druid again?
So that's the one that you can put a -1/-1 counter on it to make a green mana, and we have the Vizier of Remedies, which would mean that you would put one fewer -1/-1 counter, and you would just make an infinite green mana.
To untap it?
You know, something like that. Like a two, no, you don't have to tap it or anything.
Okay. But that Devoted Druid's not in Pioneer, right? It's Modern.
It is not in Pioneer, no. Yeah, that's in Modern.
All right, so we need that kind of
deck. Something like that kind of deck, yeah. Or, you know, if we had a... you know, Kitchen Finks, something like that, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. could turn into a 2 or 3 card creature-based combo and is also, you know, a playable card on its own.
So we need creature combos. That's what we're saying, basically. Okay.
Yeah, some creature-based combos.
What else? I mean, I have a couple.
Oh, don't think I'm done.
I have a couple.
I'm nowhere close.
You go ahead, please. I'll just keep talking. So
there are some specific tutors. You know, if there's equipment that you want to search out, we have Fighter Class. Mm-hmm. We have... You know, that's probably the one. There is the, like, Seeker, something, Relic Seeker, which, like, when the first time it hits a player, it gets to search for any equipment. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's great, but I do think that Fighter Class, probably specifically just finding Hammer, is a perfectly reasonable play. We've got another artifact search up. We've got War of Invention, and we also have the... Oh, what is the land? I should have included that. I don't think it's on my list.
Yeah, War of Invention always saw interesting. Do you mean the Kaladesh one? Yeah.
Yeah, Inventor's Fair.
That gets to search for you have to have 4 artifacts, I want to say, in play before you can sacrifice it to look for an artifact?
You have to have 3 artifacts and you pay 4 okay. to sack it. But I think that if there's a deck that can use it, it can... allow for some combos, along with War of Invention. You know, I think that one's probably one day going to find a slot.
I mean, if we're talking about lands like that, what about, was it Sanctum of Ugin? Was it Sanctum of Ugin?
Yeah.
The one that the land
that
you
one's
set.
Pretty specific, but it is
colorless card. You get to grab any colorless card, 7 or higher, so.
No, so it's when you cast a colorless spell,
7 or higher,
7 or more mana, you get to find a colorless
there
creature.
Yeah. Not good enough in Pioneer, but always seemed really interesting. Loved it in Standard.
Okay.
I was telling.
Yeah, I'm probably getting off topic of very playable ones, but I do have some more playable ones. What we can do here in a second.
If you have playable ones, go ahead. I only have potentials that are left on my list.
So currently seeing play is Search for Glory. I think that card does see play in. You know, we haven't seen as much of the Angel combo decks, but you know, Mutavault. Angel, especially like the mono white or like white blue white red versions, are definitely playing that. That's the one that you find a snow permanent, legendary permanent, or something else. Hang
saga.
On, what is the
yeah,
third
saga.
Option? Yeah, or saga. Yeah. Yeah, the saga doesn't come up too much, but it's nice in that it grabs Nykthos, it grabs either part of your, you know, grabs the Book of Exalted Deeds, or it grabs, you know, any of your planeswalkers are all legendary. Yeah, grabs a lot of things in that deck, as well as gaining you life, which is good with the book.
Not gonna lie, I didn't know that card existed.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
and that deck also occasionally will play Thalia's Lancer, which I think is a, you know, just borderline playable card.
I like it.
I love the card. It's just hard to play value creature at 5 mana in white. Yeah.
Like, if it was 4 mana, that'd be perfect.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be pretty
good. Legendary card at 4, yes, please.
It could even be a 3/3 or something.
Yeah.
Like you could take down its stats.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't have to have first strike even, you know? 3/3 life.
Oh, well, no, if you lose the first strike, come on.
Yeah.
all right, one more that I do think is definitely playable, and then a few more that I think I have my eye on is Traverse the Overworld.
Yes, that was on my potentials. I think it's very borderline. It's almost playable.
We're seeing inklings of it in the fringes of the format, and I think that it has seen play in the format before. We lost some powerful mid-range tools from the format, and since then it's definitely gone down in being played. You know, mid-range in general kind of has. And I think that we could see it see play, especially I think if something pushed Bring to Light, Niv-Mizzet over the edge, and a card had to be banned out of that deck, I can see a Traverse deck filling that tool deck hole in the format.
I want to say it was Claudio or somebody else that was messing around on NTGO the other day and had like a black green type of deck that was built around like Ishkana and maybe it was a dream. I don't know. It could have been a fever dream.
No. He definitely was. We also had a 5-0 list this last week that was Sultai. It was playing things like Froglamith and Izakleth the Desert Doom, like the 5-mana dragon with ward.
But was he using Traverse?
Yeah, he was using Traverse.
There we go. So yeah, sometimes I'm not sure.
There you go.
Because, you know, I have these really janky dreams. You know, I don't know if it was real or not. before the show.
Are you ready to start getting real fun?
Well, I mean, before the show, I think another really baseline card is Jace, Architect of Thought, was the other one. You had been talking about it before as like one of those cards that kind of can almost win the game for you on the spot if you can ultimate it right away with like a card like Voren Collects in play. His -8 is search for any card in your opponent's library and yours and cast them, which is pretty strong effect, I think.
Yeah, and you know, for me, that's a hard card to ever ultimate in a fair way. The only time I think I'd be looking at ultimating it is if you have Voren Collects in play.
Yeah, it's really hard to ultimate from, just hard casting it, I would say, because it's +1/+1/+1/+1. What, 4 or 5 turns, I think, before you could use it, so.
Yeah, and it's so tempting to minus that.
Anything else?
All right, I got some fun borderline. I got to call this out because I know that some people that I'm frequently brewing with are currently working on it is Wishclaw Talisman.
Okay, yeah. That's really
we lost Teferi as a way to bounce things. You know, that was probably the best way to... You know, Wishclaw Talisman, it's like a 2-mana artifact that you can pay one, search for any card, but then it goes to your opponent, the Wishclaw Talisman does. The best card used to be that you could Teferi it back to your own hand and draw a card so that the opponent doesn't get to use it. That's not an option anymore, but there are some fun ways that you can still get it back, or you can like play Karn and then they can't activate it. So there's some things you can do there. I think that there's some potential with that card, and I'm interested to see what kind of combo list, if this works out. We called it here first, but if it doesn't, then yeah, obviously it was jank and we knew it all along.
If we're talking about kind of jank cards that, you know, are good tutor effects, I'm playing, you know, the red-white dwarves deck, and Magda seems like she could be broken in the future. I think she has a lot of potential. You know, search for any dragon or artifact card.
Yeah, a little narrow, but I think... Yeah, if we had a dragon that, you know, initiated some kind of combo, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, like, there is the one that was doing it in Modern, but we don't have, like, a 5-mana time walk, nor the rest of that deck, you know, the rest of that shell.
And I kind of want to try it with Atarka. I think that could work. But
sure, but you could also just cast Atarka if you have 5 treasures.
Exactly.
And the ability to play a 2-drop.
Exactly. yeah, Magda's definitely on my list. I think Golos is also almost playable. It was playable before, but not...
Oh, yeah, that sees play. It sees non-zero mana play.
Yeah, so it still sees some play, but not as much as it did before. Because, you know...
And that's a land tutor.
I want to say it's in, like, with the mono-green Planeswalkers deck or something similar to that.
It could be. It'll show up in the mono-red sometimes, the ramp deck there, because, you know, it has synergy with the Cascading Cataracts, if you know that card.
Yeah, I saw that last weekend. So, interesting. I think that's definitely good. All right, I think I've pretty much exhausted all my tutor effects, both potential and, playable ones. Do you have any more that you want to talk about?
I've got 5, but I'll make them quick.
Go ahead.
Oswald Fiddlebender.
What?
That's the you sacrifice an artifact and find an artifact more expensive.
Okay. New guy?
We don't... Yeah, he's pretty new.
Is he from Adventures in Forgotten Realm?
He might be. Yeah, he's from Adventures in Forgotten Realm. Yeah, 2-mana gnome artificer. You pay 1 and tap him. Second artifact. Search for an artifact with mana value 1 plus the sacrificed artifact's mana value.
Okay.
Goes into play. We don't have an artifact combo. You can really play with this guy. If we did, then he would be pretty sweet. So one day, maybe.
I mean, same thing with, like, War of Invention, right? We don't really have really good targets for War. We don't... What's a powerful enough artifact? And I think that's also something that would make Magda playable as well. If we had really good artifacts, then Magda, War of Invention, and like this Oswald guy would all be really playable, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, what are your other four?
All right, Fierce Empath. I think not seeing any play whatsoever right now. Good card, though. That's a 3-mana 1/1 that searches for any creature 6-mana value or higher. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be casted for 6. Such as when I was playing a one of this in my Enigmatic Incarnation deck, I would find Tasigur with it. Mm-hmm. But it also finds things like Coma. It could find a Gearhold. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some good options for, like, if you've got a 1 of Wincon that you can grab with this. And if there's ever potential combos, that is a non-zero amount of thing. Maybe, for example, if it grabbed Woodland Bellower, is another one that I was going to include on my list, is a 6-mana that finds any green non-legendary creature 3-mana or less.
Oh my god. Take me back.
I mean, you know, I think in Legacy I've seen a version that can play, you know, plays both of those. Plays Fierce Empath, finds Woodland Bellower, does that alongside Food Chain. So you basically food chain the one to the other into the one to the other.
Okay.
And then sack them all and play a Emrakul or something like
that. Nice. Interesting. Okay, so 3 more now?
2 more because Woodland Bellower was on the list too. Fiend Artisan, I think, just needs a call out because it's always like, I've put it in a bunch of lists that it's gotten cut from. It's always close. You know, like one day maybe we'll have a like green-black creature, some kind of graveyardy deck that Fiend Artisan will be able to find some of your really value one-ofs or one or multiple ofs.
I mean, everybody's just so hyper.
And that'll make it good.
Hyper graveyard. the whole format right now is so hyper graveyard. Like, you want to throw crap in your graveyard as fast as possible, you know, with like Stitcher's Supplier and you know, what is it? The Seder Wayfinder and stuff like that. And then you don't really have the slightly. I think Delirium was always slightly slower. You know what I mean? Like, you had stuff like Grisly Salvage, you had Liliana effects, and I think that's the kind of deck that would want to play Fiend Artisan.
Yeah, you'd be wanting to find something with a little bit more value. You'd be finding things like Cheville, not finding things like a 3-2 for 2.
Yeah. So, slightly slower.
My last one is just the 5-mana Vivian, I thought deserved a shout-out. That one, when you cast a creature, it's -2 is when you cast a creature spell, your next creature spell this turn, you search your library for a creature with a lower mana value and put it into play.
So wait, this is actually the, how could I say, the Ikoria one?
No, let me see which one
the original was the original N19 was the one that was like killing.
Yeah. You know what? It was the Ikoria one.
Yeah, see, I had some. I was going to put these on my list, but I thought you would have called them out as too janky. So thank you for bringing them up.
Well, I keep trying to make that list work where you can play like, you can play something big and then find the dragon that when another creature enters the battlefield, it does damage equal to the creature's power.
Oh, Terror of the Peaks.
Play like, Terror of the Peaks. And like, what's the, what's that really Terror huge guy? What's that guy that I'm trying
green
to think
guy,
of?
Green guy, red guy?
It's like 12 green or something like that, or like 10 green.
Oh, like an 8-8 or something? Or
Galta, that's
Galta. Oh yeah, the 12-12.
Yeah, so you can like play Galta and then find the Terror of the Peaks, and the Terror of the Peaks goes in play first, so then you Galta and deal 12 damage to their face or whatever.
Wow, okay.
Just saying, it's an option.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Hey, you wanted to bring the jank today, and I'm here for it.
I'm enjoying this. So next question, if that's okay, and we kind of already talked about half of these cards already, is the best tutor targets. You know, we already said pretty much everything, and Niv-Mizzet is good. We talked about, like, Voronklex and Liliana. But there's a couple we didn't talk about, and one of those, I think, is God Pharaoh's Gift. I know a lot of people play it, you know, just like with the Refurbish, you know, like that way. But there's also the other way of just playing it with the 3-mana, I think it was a Gate or something like that.
Gate to the Afterlife.
And then sacrificing that with 7 or more creatures in your graveyard and then putting it right into play. We could possibly see a return to that in the future. I mean, now that we have cards like Faithless Mending, which has been shown to greatly improve, you know, the ability of great graveyard decks to to survive is also another way to put stuff into the yard. So,
yeah, and it'll depend on what kind of deck. I feel like the Faithless Mending ones probably aren't tutoring for it. They're just playing the refurbished. Mm-hmm. But
we're talking about what, you know, good cards for, you know, like Magda to search for, or Oswald. You know,
I guess so. Yeah, you'd need a 6-mana. Or you'd need 5 artifacts.
Yeah, and, yeah. Or Word of Invention even. Yeah, who knows? But it's a good target, you know, if you can put it out in play, like, quickly. If you can cheat it in there somehow. I think Casualties of War has kind of fallen off. You used to see a lot of play in the Niv-Mizzet deck, but I still think it's a really good target for Niv-Mizzet. And I don't know. I'm guessing just for Niv-Mizzet, right?
Yeah, because you can't bring Delight for that one is why it kind of fell off. I think that Binding the Old Gods sort of took over, even though you can't search for that one either.
Yeah, but you can hit them both with Niv-Mizzet, so. You know, when you play that, you just can't call Delight. So you call Delight.
And I'll tell you what those are, is those are good tutor targets, which we'll talk about in a second. Or wish targets, which we'll talk about in a second. I want to call out the one card that I kept thinking of that saw play in the standard version of Niv-Mizzet and haven't really seen play in this version is Confiscation Coop.
What is that again?
So that one, it's 5 mana, you get 4 energy, and you choose an artifact or creature, and then you can pay energy equal to that permanent mana cost and gain control of it.
That's a target that you would search up then.
With and I was talking Bring to Light specifically. Bring to Light, okay. Is that, you know, it saw play in standard Bring to Light.
Gotcha. I would say Embercleave is also a good tutor target. You know, if you're
You know, I always joke when you're talking about, you know, you get obsessed with Magda, and but I fighter insist class that as well. Is
right.
Yeah, with fighter class as well. But when you're talking about Magda, I usually insist that I keep reading Magda, and it says find Embercleave. Yes. It doesn't say anything about dragons or other artifacts. Exactly. It just says Embercleave. Exactly. There's no other text there.
But a really good tutor target, I think. You know, if you're playing that kind of deck.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Anything else that you would?
You know, we can call out Emrakul the Promised End if you are traversing specifically, I think is a good target. You know, there's a lot of just good 5-mana creatures and things. You know, there's Ishkana, there's Yorion. There's a lot of things I'm happy to find. Even at 4-mana, you know, grabbing Omnath, grabbing the 4-mana Bolas creature.
Golgoroth.
So it depends on what kind of... Bogoroth?
Golgoroth, whatever his name, the green...
Oh, Elder Gargroth at 5. Yeah, that's reasonable.
Another good tutor target.
You want to take a little wish?
Yeah, let's make a wish. Make a wish. So wish is a lot less effects, I noticed. You know, we had a whole bunch of stuff that says search your library for something, but when we're looking for stuff that says outside the game, you know, like that's what the wish effects say, I think I only came up with like 6 total maybe or 7 on Scryfall. But you said you found more. I only found 3 that are worth talking about. But you said you had a bunch.
I found 6 that I think have seen play or do see play.
So do you want to go first? Should I go first?
Sure. Well, I'll start with maybe an obvious one is Fae of Wishes. You know, the granted spell, search for a non-creature card from outside the game, puts it into your hand, and that's it.
And this is in, I want to say this is in Lotus, no?
Yeah, Lotus Field usually plays this.
It's a great way to kind of protect your combo and stuff like that. Just grab it from the sideboard.
Yeah, and it used to see some play in things like Fires, you know, the occasional deck here and there. And I think it's maybe it's due for a comeback.
Yeah, I think it still has, it's playable, but it also has more potential to get better.
And I do think that there's 2 kind of cards that compete with that slot in very similar lists is the card Wish is the 3-mana. You may play a card you own from outside the game this turn. Yeah. I think that people tried that in Lotus, and I think that it mostly didn't win just because it's kind of a turn slower. Mm-hmm. The advantage to it is that it can find lands, it can find creatures if you were trying to do something like a Thassa's Oracle. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, I think it just falls behind Fae of Wishes, which can also be, you know, reused. It can be blocker, it can be played early, whatever. Mm-hmm.
My next, obvious wish card is Karn the Great Creator. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to search your library. No, sorry. Search your sideboard for, what is it, an artifact card or a colorless card?
It's an artifact card. And it's just an artifact.
Just any artifact, basically, that you can grab. So you can. That's like the whole thing behind the Mono Green Planeswalkers deck is that it's just kind of like a toolbox deck. You put everything that you could possibly want in your sideboard and then grab that. So,
and along with it in that deck is also Vivian, yes, Arcbow Ranger, so I want to kind of talk about these two together. That one can minus five to find a creature card you own from outside the game, put into your hand. And just as a kind of general rule, when you're building your deck, ulting Vivian happens a lot less than minusing two Karn. Mm-hmm. So usually they'll include like one to two cards for Vivian to grab. Usually it's like just Ulamog, yeah, or maybe like Ulamog, and if you have it, an artifact creature that either one can grab. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, Karn's usually the go-to there.
Yeah. I would say, again, like Elder Gargareth's another wish target that I've seen in mono-green decks. Or like World...
Yeah, I don't think that's unreasonable. It's just, it's probably pretty rare that you're going to give up your Vivian to grab Gargaroth in a, you know, where you've already got a board state.
Or I would say Worldbreaker maybe as well, just because it's kind of a big body, but also, you know, exiles... it's exile, right? Exile is a land or an artifact or an enchantment? No.
Might even be land. I think it's land, artifact, or enchantment. Yeah.
So pretty strong effect. Yeah, totally agree. And then again, if we're talking about targets, like wish targets, you know, if you're playing Karn, pretty much anything, any, you know, artifact you want to play, depending on the metagame, is yours to take.
Yes. Yeah, so generally with Karn, what you want to think about is, you know, cheap things that are, you know, you'll be able to play Karn and play it, mm-hmm, especially things that are, you know, things like Pithing Needle or Pithing Needle, things like Grafdigger's Cage, which stops specific decks. It's also very important when you can to put an artifact land in your sideboard, because sometimes you just need a land, and being able to grab that with Karn is great. And then some things that are bigger pay off. You know, Asika's Chariot's a great one. Mm-hmm. Something like a God Pharaoh statue can help shut down the game. Yep. Those are kind of the usual ones. And then you can pick a couple more maybe to fill in your extra slots.
Yeah, depends on the meta, basically.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like my three, the Fave Wishes, the Vivian, and Karn. What were the other three that you have on your list?
So Raven's Warning is probably my most borderline one, in that that sees maybe the occasional play. I think that it mostly relied on Fire's Invention, and that deck fell off a lot without having to ferry. But that could be a cool card. Raven's Warning is pretty cool, and it does grab a card from outside the game, puts it on top of your library. Mm-hmm. It's just a little slow. You know, you don't get it until the third saga, and then it goes on top. Mm-hmm. The other one is that Mastermind's Acquisition does see play, usually as a one or two of, in the Lotus Field decks. So that one's four mana, and it searches for a card in your library or a card from outside the game and puts it into your hand.
Right. What are the other? So yeah, I saw that one. I'd consider putting it on my list, but like you said, I didn't think it really was one of the top ones. I felt like it's more like it had potential, but not good enough. But you said you have more. So what are the others?
That was six. That was the six I was going to talk about.
The six
about.
You said: Karn, Fae, Vivian, the Epiphany, and what was the other two?
Wish, Raven's Warning, Mastermind's Acquisition. Yeah.
Okay. I see. You already did talk about them. So. One more question then. So we talked about wish cards. We talked a little bit about wish targets, but I think we're still missing what other targets you would wish, especially with stuff like Fae of Wishes. So like Ulamog's from green, Worldbreaker, you know, that stuff's all, you know, in the mono green deck. What kind of stuff are you wishing for with Fae of Wishes?
So Thought Distortion has been a really big one. That is just so good to be able to completely wipe out certain matchups. That one's the six mana, you know, opponent discards all of the non-creature cards in their hand and exiles all the ones from their graveyard. Mm-hmm. Can't be countered. Yep. Yeah, I think, you know, the other, that kind of takes the cake for anti-control. Usually you'll get some kind of sweeper, maybe multiple flexible sweepers. So being able to, like a three mana red sweeper, maybe a five mana white sweeper. Nowadays, maybe even something that can get rid of something like God Pharaoh's Gift tokens, or like Soul Flayer, even if I'm going to go there. I think so. There are some other options. You know, Ugin's another likely one. If you're a big mana deck, you can be able to grab Ugin. That's generally answers the entire board for you. And that's kind of what you want, is that usually you're a little bit reactive with any kind of slow control deck. So you want your wish targets to be things that will help you stabilize the board. And then again, you can also grab things like Grafdigger's Cage, stuff that'll be cheap and answers a specific problem deck.
And while we're kind of on the whole Lotus Field, you know, combo, big mana type deck, sideboard, Omniscience, of course, is another card that sees, that is a target of Fae of Wishes usually. And also...
Yep, I've seen that kind of... Yep.
And also Approach of the Second Sun is another one.
Yes. depending on what your win con is. So that's kind of specific to Lotus Field is, then whatever your win con is, that can be in your sideboard as well.
So kind of interesting. I mean, I think we have more wish targets than we actually have wish cards at the moment, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, you know, I do miss when you could just kind of do a fair fey of wishes and wish for stuff like you said, the casualties of war, or like the Jeskai ultimatum at one point was seeing play. Yeah. That one's just like 5 damage to something, gain 5 life, draw 5 cards.
Is there any other targets? Are we missing anything else? Or I think we kind of talked about most of them, right?
Yeah, I think most of them.
And I think we also already kind of talked about, potential, wish or tutor cards as well. So I'm good to end it here if you want to wrap it up, unless there's something else.
Yeah, why don't we bring it to the end of our show here? Hopefully you guys enjoyed this kind of content. We will be posting this on our Twitter, and that's the best place to find us, to follow us for all kinds of Pioneer information. We post all the time. Retweet people who are posting. If you're streaming, let us know. We'll retweet you. We love to just get people interested in playing Pioneer. And that is the @MTGPioneer Twitter. And you can also find a link to our Discord there, which is another great way to stay in contact with us.
And you guys can find me on Twitter as well, @YoSchwenky, YoSchwenky. Starting to post more about Magic the Gathering in Japan, where I'm living. I'll be doing a lot of Pioneer content this upcoming month due to Hallelujah's end of the month event, the God of Pioneer. So definitely give me a follow and check out all the updates from Japan as I post them. And yeah, I guess that's about it. So yeah, make sure to check out our Discord as well.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Your First Pioneers are... What's our new signing out?
Yeah.
Didn't we talked about this with Claudio, and I'm trying to remember what we decided on.
He said flinging. Something silly. He's like, what is that?
Oh, we like looked up all the synonyms to flinging out, because we were saying flinging out.
Slinging out.
We got to end the show, so we're going to say shooting out today, and we'll change it up next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.